You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. And it is time for the fall concert season to kick in. The Allentown Symphony Orchestra is beginning its 2013-2014 subscription concert season. It begins with a series of concerts on October 12th and 13th, the opening Revelry. Also, music on November, Experience Midori. In February, Classical Music for Film. In March, Mozart's Requiem. And concluding the season with Beethoven's Emperor Concerto on April 5th and 6th. In the studio with me today is the maestra, Diane Whitry. She is the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She is an internationally known conductor. During the past few seasons, she has conducted concerts in Japan, Canada, Bosnia, Russia, Slovakia, New York, Washington, D.C., New Jersey, as well as Wisconsin and California, on top of her regular conducting duties here in the Lehigh Valley with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She received her degree in violin performance from the University of Southern California, as well as a master's degree in instrumental conducting. She has served as the director of the Greater Miami Youth Symphony, also the director of the Symphony of the South of Southeast Texas back in the 1990s. She has also directed orchestras in Connecticut, New Jersey, and we are proud and pleased to have her at the helm of our own Allentown Symphony Orchestra. She's a good friend of Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio, a good friend of WDIY, and we welcome her back to WDIY. Welcome, maestra.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Great. Well, it's concert time. The bows are being rosined, the violins and cellos and basses are being tuned, the brass is being polished and oiled, and there's going to be music at Miller Symphony Hall.
Yes, it's a very, very exciting season. One of the things I really enjoy about bringing music to the Greater Lehigh Valley is coming up with eclectic, interesting programming that when packaged together, you know, if you come to all the different concerts, each one is so uniquely different, and yet each one brings us some very, very exciting and passionate and heartfelt music.
Yeah. You know, all of us have different interests, different tastes in music and art, and I have enjoyed many of your programs. But I was looking at all of the concerts that we're going to listen to and think about today, and I'm just excited for everyone. I can't wait.
Yeah.
It's a really going to be a wonderful concert season.
Yeah, and I think each one has perhaps a piece that's very well known, but then paired with maybe a piece that's not as well known or a new work that's very, very exciting that I hope people will leave there going, wow, I'm really glad I heard that piece too.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine putting together a concert season is sort of like working on a piece of art, and that you might conceive an idea and then you begin to maybe sketch it out and then you kind of, you know, fill in the blanks and then you kind of work it and rework it. I mean, this process for you, when did it start? When do you start thinking about a concert season?
Yeah, we start about a year and a half to 2 years in advance. I'm currently working on the season after this and the one after that because it really is both a puzzle, but also there's that sort of flavor issue of how pieces go together. And if I change one piece out, not only does that change the balance on that individual concert program, but it also changes the balance within the whole season. Because within a season, I want a certain amount of pieces from different style periods, different countries, different lengths, different feels. And I always compare it to a chef planning, you know, a great menu, that each concert unto itself is like a meal, and the flavors have to work, and the timing has to work, and the pacing. And then within the season, all of those five concerts have to work well together also. And it's, you know, that's why I work on sort of a multi-year plan, because maybe I take a piece off for whatever reason, and I move it maybe to another year. I don't take it off the table, but I move it to another place, and the balance changes and shifts.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the other, you know, things is sometimes the ingredients change. You might plan, you know, a certain item and then you go to the store and it's not there. And so you have to kind of alter the meal. I guess you also have soloists and musicians that you sort of plan for that may or may not come
exactly.
and be a part of the program.
And often, you know, sometimes I'll go to them and I'll say, you know, I really want a concerto by a Russian composer. I want that sort of flavor. And then they come back and say, no, I want to do this other repertoire. And so if the concerto changes, then the repertoire changes. And often, for instance, we're bringing Midori, you know, fabulous, fabulous, internationally renowned violinist. And with that, she basically came to us and said, I would like to do this piece, the Bartok Violin Concerto No. 2. And so that was a given. And then I build the program around that piece. And so sometimes I'll go to them with the piece, and other times they'll say to me, this is the piece I really want. And then I have to figure out how does that work within my larger season.
Sure. You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. We're visiting with Diane Wittry. She's the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And we're previewing the 2013-14 subscription concert series for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. It will be performed at Miller Symphony Hall in downtown Allentown. More information is at their website, allentownsymphony.org, or you can call the box office at
610-432-6715.
Yeah, you can get tickets either to the whole season. You can buy season tickets for the series, or you can buy individual concert tickets as well. And all that information is on their website or at the box office. So let's hear about the first course where the first concerts are coming up. Will be in October, Saturday, October 12th, Sunday, October 13th. For our listeners, if there's someone new to the Lehigh Valley, you know, we have a growing area. Maybe there's a new listener to WDIY. Generally, the Allentown Symphony offers a pair of concerts every weekend. It's the Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and then there's a Sunday afternoon, sort of a matinee at 3 p.m. Makes it very convenient if you don't drive at night or get out. So it's Saturday night at 8, Sunday at 3, and it's called Opening Revelry.
Yes, and the Revelry title came from the opening work on that concert, which is a piece called Revelry by Lowell Lieberman. And Lowell is a living American composer, a fabulous guy. And this is a short 6-minute opener that's very fun, very exciting, sort of in the style, if you know the work, Bernstein Candide. I kind of compare it to that type of piece. It's just a very exciting, funny piece almost. And one of the nice things about the Allentown Symphony is that we own the building. So it's Miller Symphony Hall, but it allows me to utilize technology. And so during the year, you know, we're going to be having a screen come down and actually be able to hear Lowell Lieberman talk a little bit about his piece before we play it. And be able to, I'm hoping that we'll have some cameras when we do the piano concerto that you're able to see up close and personal. So that maybe if you're not seated on the side of the hall where you can see those piano keys clearly, we're going to help you do that. We're going to incorporate some new and interesting things to keep that concert experience very vital and very interesting.
And visually, not a bad seat in the house. How about that?
And the sound in Symphony Hall is just phenomenal. I mean, really, really exceptional. So with this concert, we open with Lowell Lieberman's Revelry, a very short, fun opening work, and then we do the Grieg Piano Concerto, which is most famous, I think, for that big piano cadenza that opens the work and sort of has reminiscent of Bach. And then paired with that, I really felt that the right piece would be the Sibelius Symphony No. 2, which has one of the most glorious endings. You know, the final movement of that is just so noble, and I thought for opening night, I wanted that sort of loud, brassy, fanfarish, but also very noble music.
All right. Well, why don't we just get a glimpse, just a quick glimpse at what that Sibelius might sound like as people anticipate the concerts on October 12th and 13th. In this recording, I have Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic of Sibelius Symphony No. 2. It's his Opus 43. This is just the beginning of the finale. The tempo marking is Allegro Moderato. In anticipation of the opening revelry of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, their 2013-2014 subscription concert series. That's Leonard Bernstein conducting the New York Philharmonic. The music of Jean Sibelius, his Symphony No. 2, Opus 43, that was just the glimpse of the beginning of the finale. You can hear that as part of the opening concert for the Allentown Symphony's October 12th and 13th concerts, beginning their 2013-2014 concert season. More information at allentownsymphony.org. Or you can call the box office at
610-432-6715.
What a team. We got it covered. All right. That's a beautiful piece of music. You know, Grieg is this great Norwegian composer, Sibelius, this Finnish composer. And sometimes, you know, when I think of these, you know, ethnic composers, I always sort of imagine where they live, and it's sort of cold and stark and dark many parts of the year. But when you hear the Grieg, and then followed by the Sibelius, there's nothing cold, dark. It's warm, lush, romantic. I mean, both of those pieces will just get your heart pumping. It'll be a wonderful opening.
I think they're also. I love the combination of them together. I think it really, just like I say, sometimes the flavors just work. And those two flavors really, I think, work very well together.
Beautiful. All right. So that's the open revelry. And then the season goes on. Then it'll be...
Now, I should mention, before we leave that concert, that we have the pianist Awadigan Pratt coming. And Awadigan Pratt really is a fabulous performer, but also I think a unique performer, in he has sort of this unique image. He wears his hair in dreadlocks, and he sits very, very low. I mean, almost like he's on the floor with his hands up. So he has sort of an image that's a little bit different than some of the pianists out there.
Not sort of the traditional starched white shirt and...
Exactly.
You know, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And he also has a music festival that he coordinates in Lancaster, PA. So I'm hoping we'll draw some audience in from Lancaster. And he's also done some work up in Jim Thorpe with a festival up there. So he's well known in the greater Lehigh Valley area.
Sure.
And I think a performer that I'm very, very excited about working with.
Wow. Well, we'll look forward to that. All right. So that's the opening concert. That's in October. A month later, it keeps getting better. The concert is entitled Experience Midori, and that's the weekend of November 16th and 17th, including Smetana, Bartok, and Brahms.
Yes, and this concert, so we open with the Smetana, the Moldau, which is a piece that I absolutely love, and takes us sort of through a story of that, the countryside, the stream falling through, builds very nicely, and I thought partnered well with the more folk idioms of the Bartok Violin Concerto No. 2, which Midori will be playing, and then we conclude that concert on the second half with one of my absolute favorite composers, which is Brahms' Second Symphony, which to me, that symphony is like the sun coming out on a wonderful spring day. It's understated and yet just very peaceful and soothing. And Brahms just had it. You know, during his time period, he was not as well respected because he wasn't sort of doing the cutting edge avant-garde writing. He was really reflecting back to composers earlier. But there is such heart and soul and integrity in his music that I think it speaks to everyone.
Wow, that's great. And Midori. Now, that's kind of exciting for us then to have Midori come and play.
Yes. One of our goals with, I work with an artistic committee through the symphony, one of our goals is to be able to bring to the Lehigh Valley really internationally renowned guest artists. And we've been working on this, and to have some of her stature to come perform for us and to work with her is just going to be phenomenal. And she really came on the scene many years ago as a nine-year-old, you know, young performer that just took everybody by storm, because no one could believe that a nine-year-old could play with such intellectual depth and sensitivity. And her career just blossomed. And she's also a fabulous person. She has her own foundation. She encourages young people. And for the November concert, we do a string festival, which happens on Sunday at 2 o'clock before the main concert, where we invite about 80 young string players, elementary and middle school age, to come play. We transcribe melodies from the concert, from the main symphony, and they learn these. And she'll be working and talking with these young people, too, and being a wonderful role model for them.
Great, great. We're visiting with Diane Wittry. She is the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. We're previewing the 2013-14 subscription concert series for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. More information about all these concerts is at their website, allentownsymphony.org. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. Before we go further, let's listen to a little bit of the Smetana. You know, Moldau is, again, one of those classical pieces that I think many people might be familiar with. It's a tone poem, and it's based on this whole series that Smetana wrote about his homeland, and there are different parts of that, and the Moldau is about the river, and it sort of paints the picture of
Exactly. And it's the river starts as a small stream. So if you listen from the beginning, it just starts with two flutes, which are just the ripple of this little stream. But as the piece progresses, you get to see what's happening next to the stream. There's a wedding and then there's a big storm and there's big mountains. But the ending that we're going to listen to is where the stream becomes very large and very grand, and it's where the melody is the same, but he then uses the full orchestra. And one of the great things about coming to a concert in person is hearing the fullness of the sound of the 75 members of the Allentown Symphony playing all of this just big, glorious music. I mean, there's nothing like it to hear it live.
Yeah, and this is the Vienna Philharmonic performing the music of Bedrick Smetana. This is the conclusion of that. So this is the full deluge. You know, this
is you're right. The river is at its fullest.
At its fullest. The music of Bedrick Smetana for Friday morning, right here on WDIY Classics. That's the music of Smetana for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics. James Levine conducting the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. That was the conclusion of the Moldau, and that will be the opening piece on the November 16th and 17th concerts of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. That concert will feature Midori on violin, performing the violin concerto number 2 of Béla Bartók, and also on the program, Johannes Brahms, Symphony number 2. More information at allentownsymphony.org. You're listening to WDIY Classics. In the studio with us today is the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, the Maestra Diane Whitry. Diane, that was exciting.
Yeah.
You know, what I appreciated about that piece of music is that, you know, you start out with these two little flutes and you kind of build into this great thing, this big emotional thing, and then it just comes to this really just satisfying conclusion. It just kind of everything winds down and it's like, oh, it's all, you know, and then he just sort of punctuates it at the end. And it's a lovely, you know, just a brilliant piece of music.
Well, and that's why this music, we play it today when it was written so many hundreds of years ago. I mean, it really communicates to us as strongly today as when it was written.
Yeah.
And I think that's the amazing thing about, and time itself kind of weeds out pieces. So the pieces that aren't so good sort of fall from favor, yeah. But the ones that are really great, they stick around for a long time.
Yeah, they still touch you now as much now as they did then.
Yeah.
All right. We are... looking at the 2013-2014 concert season, do you want to talk a little bit about tickets? What it would take for what it takes for people to get tickets?
It's
what,
very easy to get tickets. You can call the office, which is 610-432-6715, or you can just go online and you can actually order tickets online. There's a seating chart. You can pick your seats. We make it very easy at any time. If you know, if you're up late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, you want to order tickets to a symphony concert, you just go right online and you can order your tickets right there.
Yeah, there's a great link there on their website. You have a beautiful website, by the way.
Thank you.
Anything about Miller Symphony Hall? I mean, you also have just in the last concert season, we renamed the hall in honor of the Miller family, long time supporters of the Allentown Symphony and active on the Symphony Board and the Symphony Association,
Yeah, and the Miller family actually had the vision way back in 1959 to purchase the hall for the Allentown Symphony so that the Allentown Symphony would always have a home both to rehearse in and to perform. And, you know, as the years have gone on, we've added on to the building, we've remodeled, we now have the wonderful Rodale Room, which can be rented for events and for weddings. And it's really allowed the symphony to grow, and we continue to grow. And it's really revitalizing downtown Allentown, and it's very exciting to be a part of all of this.
All right. Well, the concert season at Allentown Symphony, you start off in October, and then back-to-back concerts in October and November. There's a little bit of a break for the holidays. There's lots of other events, I have to say, that are going on.
And the orchestra is involved in the Nutcracker performance
in December. So it's not like they're just sort of vacation, but they're just doing other things. And then in February, then you pick up with the third in the series of concerts, and that is early in February. Oftentimes, it was right around Valentine's Day. It's the week before Valentine's Day, the 8th and 9th. Saturday's the 8th, 8 o'clock. Sunday the 9th at 3 o'clock. And this one's entitled Classical Music for Film, and that's a fun thing for me. You know, here at WDIY, we do the Friday film scores, so we play orchestral music, which was not originally composed for a concert hall, but originally composed for the cinema. But a lot of classical music over the years has been used as part of the soundtrack for many, many, many films. You know?
Yes, and that's what got me thinking about this as a concept for a concert. And I'm always excited about expanding the audience and bringing more people into the concert hall. And many people don't realize how much classical music that they know and have listened to because it's come through as a commercial soundtrack or in a TV show or in a feature film. And so each of the pieces, many of these pieces are featured in many different films. And during the concert, we'll be talking about the films. I'll sort of set up the music a little bit. But things like the Schubert Eighth Symphony, the first movement, is used in, 25, 30 different films. So I'm pulling out the more popular names of the films that people might recognize. Things like the Barber Adagio was made very famous by use in the film Platoon. So we have, and so the concert is very interesting in the fact that the first half is all earlier classical composers, you know, like Mendelssohn and Schubert and Barber and Mascagni, that wrote pieces that were then lifted and used for film. And the second half of the concert is more modern-day composers like William Walton, Korngold, Shostakovich, Prokofiev, Morricone, that made money on the side, that were more known as classical composers, but actually made quite a bit of money writing for film. You know, William Walton, he was drafted by the military, and they didn't want to send him over and risk that he might not come back alive, and so they actually put him to work writing music for propaganda films during the war. And so we'll be doing some music from his film, The Battle of Britain. You know, so this is really interesting, because what he had done is then he later took his film music and created concert pieces out of them. So it goes
back and forth. Yeah. That's sort of James Newton Howard, right? Is he the one who did the Lord of the Rings films, right? And now there's a whole suite, a Lord of the Rings suite that he recomposed the themes from the different movies and made them into an orchestral suite now.
And John Williams is doing a lot of this. You know, there's suites of John Williams' film music. And, you know, John Williams is going to be like the Johann Strauss of earlier era. You know, his music is very popular, but it's becoming core repertoire for the orchestras. Mm-hmm. He writes phenomenally well, and it's very much a classical style in his writing. And so with this concert, you know, it's going to be, we'll have obviously some visuals and we'll talk about the films, but overall, it's just some fabulous, great music. You know, we've got the Bartok music for strings, percussion, and celeste, which was used in The Shining, you know, and that's a pretty standard sort of hardcore classical piece, but utilized in a concert film music. So I'm very excited about this concert. I think people are really going to enjoy it. You know, one of the pieces we're ending the first half of the concert with is the Saber Dance from Gain by Kachaturian, which was used in the Blues Brothers film in 2000, mm-hmm. but also used in many, many, many other films. And a lot of people
And cartoons, by the way.
They might not recognize it by the name I just said, but when you hear the music, you go, oh, yeah, I know that music.
Yeah, so originally it was composed for a ballet, which I can't imagine. I've never seen that dance. I can't imagine how you would dance that. But so it was originally composed for a ballet, and now that it's became, you know, popular as a concert piece, and then as apart from the ballet, and that, then also for all its uses in for television and film as well. But exactly. Why don't we just get a glimpse of this? And again, I think it's a piece that many of you probably will know. This is the Košice Philharmonic Orchestra, right here on WDIY Classics. That's the music of, excuse me, that's the music of Aram Khachaturian from the ballet Guyenne, The Saber Dance, right here on WDIY Classics. That is music that will be a part of a concert series, February 8th and 9th, a pair of concerts, as part of the 2013-2014 subscription concert series for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. The theme of the concert is classical music for film. And for more information and a little bit more about the concert, tickets, allentownsymphony.org. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. And in the studio with me today, Diane Witry. She is the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And she has composed this concert series and is previewing with us all of these different concerts that we'll be hearing in the upcoming concert year. That was a pretty brisk pace.
It was. I loved it. It was so crisp and so sort of in your face.
Yeah, it was. And again, reflecting on, we were talking all around this a little bit this morning with regards to the power of music. But again, just sitting and listening, you know, again, I can feel my blood pressure going up a little bit, my heart pumping, adrenaline, you know, going on. And that is a kind of a visceral experience to listen to that. And I'm sure that's why so many music directors and producers of television programs want to use this music, because they want to use this music to highlight what you're seeing on the screen. You know, going to a live concert is sort of like going to the theater, and, you know, in the, not in the sense that the musicians are acting out a particular play or thing, but you are, it is also a visual, sensual experience when you see the violin bows, you know, madly going up and down, and the percussionists playing in the back, and the brass are, you know, doing their thing, you know, that there's a, you know, you're engaged not only orally, but the whole thing, it's a sensual experience in real time. And then and you as the conductor up front conducting, you're not only conducting the orchestra, the audience is, we're also on the edge of our seats watching you, you know, well, you know, for that next movement or that little tweak, you know. And that's one of the things that's great about going to the symphony hall to see a concert live, as opposed to just listening to it on a CD. It's great to hear it, you know, on a fine recording like we just heard, but it's a whole different experience when you go see it live.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, the players in the Allentown Symphony are quite virtuosic, and they love doing this type of concert because, you know, you could hear there was a lot of brass playing, a lot of solo playing, xylophone playing, just opportunities for them to show off and really, really get you excited about the classical music.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And so maybe we would swing the pendulum the other way. So you have these pieces that are so engaging and so can really stimulate you to action, you know, or engage you in something in action. You can also have the exact opposite effect, where you can take something that's so calm and so serene and so soothing, and it can, again, put you in a place of peace and quietness and calm, and many movie directors and composers have done that as well.
And I think that was the challenge for me in putting this concert together, was finding the right combination. I mean, there's huge numbers of classical music used for film. You know, I have a printout about 2 inches thick of choices that I could have selected, but it was finding the right choices so that the piece and the concert becomes a journey, and that each piece leads into the next piece, and either I take you from that mood and bring you through to the piece after that, or sometimes I want to sort of pop it, like the Saber Dance is my pop for the end of that first half. But it was very interesting to come up with the progression that I felt worked, both, you know, mood-wise, harmonically, stylistically. And I'm really, really very pleased with the way this whole concert came together. And I think it's going to be a wonderful journey for all of us to go through.
This is one of the most aggressive programs I've seen in a long time.
Yeah,
usually
it is.
When I go to a concert, we'll hear three or four composers and maybe four or five pieces of music. That would be a long concert. there must be a dozen pieces of music. I can't even count them all.
Yes. But many of them are short.
Yeah, they're a minute or two
and
pieces.
And therefore the challenge is, you know, with a lot of choices of, I didn't want too many short pieces in a row because then the piece has no what I call main course. It becomes all appetizers. Mm-hmm. And so finding that right balance was very, very critical. Now, we'll be doing a movement of the Korngold Violin Concerto. Korngold was a composer that wrote a lot of film scores, and this piece is popular on the concert stage, but was also used in two of his films that he wrote for. We're going to do a funeral march by Shostakovich, which was used in his film called The Great Citizen, which is a Russian film, but the melody was also used note by note is as the main melody in the third movement of his 11th symphony. So it's nice to see that sort of connection. And then Morricone is a composer that wrote the film score for The Mission, mm-hmm. but also he was well
the
known
good,
for his
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah, and his spaghetti westerns. I mean,
yeah,
he was very
absolutely,
well known for those.
Yes.
But he is a composer that, my goodness, his musical voice is just so amazing and so heartfelt. And Yo-Yo Ma has taken some of his pieces and actually taken the film music and then added cello solo obbligato on top of them. And when you're talking about changing over to music that is more heartfelt, I think that this music from The Mission is some of the most heartfelt music I've ever heard. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant piece of music, and it's certainly one of my favorite pieces of music. I'm so excited that you programmed it.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Well, we're going to listen to this. This is from actually a collection on the Sony Classical label. Simply entitled Yo-Yo Plays Yo-Yo Plays Ennio Morricone. And this features the Roma Sinfonietta under the direction of the composer himself, Ennio Morricone, conducting. This is Yo-Yo Ma on cello, and this is Gabriel's oboe from the film The Mission, right here on WDIY Classics.
Thank you.
That's Yo-Yo Ma on cello, along with Ennio Morricone conducting the Roma Sinfonietta. His own music, that is a piece entitled Gabriel's Oboe from the motion picture The Mission. That'll be part of a series of pieces of music from film, including Barber's Adagio for Strings, Mendelssohn's Symphony No. 4, the first movement, Schubert's Symphony No. 8, also selections from Prokofiev's Alexander Nevsky, and many, many others. Music of Strauss, Bartok, Schubert, Kachaturian, Walton Korngold, and others. And that will be featured in a pair of concerts on Saturday, February 8th, Sunday, February 9th, entitled Classical Music for Film. The Allentown Symphony Orchestra will be performing at Miller Symphony Hall as part of the 2013-2014 concert series. More information at allentownsymphony.org. You're tuned to WDIY Classics on WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and HD. We're listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and I'm your host for this Friday edition of WDIY Classics. In the studio with me this morning, the music director and conductor of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, the maestra Diane Whitry. Diane, that was moving.
Yes.
I'm moved.
Yes, I love that music. I think Morricone is a fabulous composer and was so happy that I could work him into this type of concert. And I think this is going to be, like I said, a fun concert for everyone, but some really great, exciting, moving music. And on the Alexander Nevsky, we're actually involving two high school choruses from the area to join us for that final piece of the program, and that's going to be a great ending for the concert.
All right. Well, we're kind of about at the end of our time. We have about 10 minutes left to just wrap up this concert series. What's next on the agenda?
Well, in March, we're doing the Mozart Requiem, which is a great piece. And for this concert, this will be the first concert of our brand new Allentown Symphony Chorus. Now, we've had a chorus before, but we're sort of revamping the chorus, and this will be a chorus that meets just for the 6 or 7 weeks before the performance. So professional level singers brought together for this performance specifically. And our goal is that every year we will feature our new symphony chorus on a concert with the Allentown Symphony. And I couldn't think of a better piece than the Mozart Requiem to start that off with. And on this same concert, this is our shot competition winner. And those of you that may not know, we have a national competition for string players, and each year it rotates violin, cello, and classical guitar. And so Christine Lamprea is our winner this year, and she will be performing Barber's Cello Concerto. And then opening that concert, we have Mozart's Marriage of Figaro Overture. So I have the Mozart bookends, the Mozart at the beginning and the Mozart Requiem at the end with the Barber in between.
All right. And Mozart's Requiem, again, is one of those, you know, stalwart classics that, you know, that you've heard anywhere and everywhere. And, you know, probably now almost, it's hard to imagine, but almost 30 years ago, it was repopularized with the Mozart movie.
With the film, yeah.
But even apart from the film, it still was one of the greatest, you know, pieces ever written. And, you know, I just want to, can we just listen to a little bit of the beginning of it?
I think that'd be great. Let's listen to the Dies Irae.
Yeah, this is the beginning then of Mozart's Requiem. In this recording, it's Robert Shaw conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. That's the music of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart for a Friday morning. The Dies Irae from his Requiem, Kircher Listing 626, The Day of Wrath. Robert Shaw conducting the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. That will be the theme piece, the finale of a pair of concerts, March 8th and 9th, 2014, entitled Mozart's Requiem, the Allentown Symphony Orchestra performing at Miller's Symphony Hall, featuring Christine Lamprea on cello, the 2013 Schott Competition winner, playing Barber's Cello Concerto, and the concert begins with the overture to The Marriage of Figaro. With me in the studio is the maestro Diane Wittry. And that's pretty powerful. That's a powerful piece of music.
It's an amazing piece of music.
Now, I have seen and heard you conduct orchestras throughout, over the last decade, if you can imagine that. But I can't remember too often that I've seen you conducting a chorus. What's it like conducting a chorus instead of or on top of an orchestra? Is that like adding four more instruments, alto, soprano, tenor, and bass?
It's yes and no. And we do utilize choruses quite often. We've had many partnerships with other organizations in the Valley. And each one is a little bit different in how you work with them. But the usual thing would be that someone else would prepare the chorus. Maybe like we just did a partnership with Muhlenberg and utilized their chorus and also their alumni. And then I would come in and work with the chorus separately for a rehearsal or two rehearsals. And then we bring them into Symphony Hall and they have one or two rehearsals then with the orchestra. Now with this piece, this is a new symphony chorus. Eduardo Azate is our chorus master, and he and I will work very closely together. I will give him tempo sheets. I will give him some instructions on the diction and things that I would like. Chorus is all about the color of sound, which is created by the vowels, and making sure that the consonants don't get in the way of the core of the vowel sound. But I absolutely love working with choruses and am very excited about the fact that we'll be able to do even more work going forward by having this wonderful symphony chorus. And people can still come and audition for this chorus. I actually have some auditions this week, but we'll have some in the fall. And you should call the symphony office, 610-432-6715, or go on the Allentown Symphony website, and there is a whole page about the chorus, information about the audition procedure, information about the rehearsal schedule.
All right. And then the concert season ends on April 5th and 6th, 2014. Beethoven's Emperor Concerto is the headliner. Also on the program, Wagner's Prelude to Act 3 of Lohengrin, and also Strauss's Ein Heldenleben. So tell me a little bit about that. That sounds kind of fun.
This is a great concert, and it's a big concert, both for the audience and for the orchestra. So the Lohengrin is one of those three-minute openers that just is a great fanfare. Large, huge, exciting. I thought it was a perfect way to set up the other two pieces. Now, I picked the Emperor Piano Concerto to go with Ein Heldenleben because Ein Heldenleben is all about a hero's life. And I felt that the word emperor and knowing how that relationship worked, that this would be a really good combination of the sort of royalty, the grandeur of power and how that works both in music and in real life. And what I'm hoping to do, once again, trying to utilize technology and the fact that we have this concert hall that can do some special lighting, some special effects, is as we go through the Ein Heldenleben, which has titles for each of the sections, that we'll be able to show these on the back of the shell and do some special lighting to help people understand the piece better and really make it a more multimedia experience. You know, it's something very, very exciting for us to branch into. It's the highlight for the season. The orchestra's going to play it great, and I'm very excited about it.
Wow, I'm excited about the whole season. You're tuned to WDIY Classics on listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanoskis. With me in the studio, the maestro Diane Wittry. We're previewing the 2013-2014 subscription concert series for the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. More information is available by going to their website, allentownsymphony.org, or calling the box office at
610-432-6715.
Yeah. Just a reminder that Diane will be back on every Friday preceding these concerts at 10 a.m. We'll go into all of the pieces and all of the musicians who will be part of that as we prepare. Those are the Fridays before the concerts. And then at noon on those Fridays is the Brown Bag kind of luncheon.
And we're actually going to call it now Meet the Artist.
All right.
Because we realize this is what this is all about. At 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock at Symphony Hall, it's free. You can come. I'll talk more in depth about the pieces. We'll play some musical examples. But the artists will be there. They will be playing a little bit. They'll be answering questions. You'll get to see their instrument. And it's a really nice way to sort of see things behind the scenes at the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. Yeah.
Those Fridays would be October 11th, November 15th, also February 7th, March 7th, and April 4th. 10 o'clock on the radio, 12 o'clock on stage at
Right.
Miller
Put it on
Symphony
your calendars.
Hall. Absolutely. Diane, always a pleasure and a joy. So glad you stopped by today.
Thank you, Wally.
Let's go out with the Heldenleben. This is the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, directed by Fritz Reiner, the music of Richard Strauss, right here on WDIY Classics.